319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Do it yourself. Do those three words conjure up images of sweat equity and a job well done? Or do they make you think that you just might mess up even the smallest home project, wasting time and money? Well, tonight we continue our home improvement series with a look at what DIY, do-it-yourself, really means. My guest is Tristan Kier, Francis, interior designer and principal at the House of Kier. Lines are open if you have a comment or question about doing it yourself, a project for your home, big or small, at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Tristan, thank you so much for joining the program. It sounds like you're painting in the background or something.
I wish I was shuffling papers around, but it's good to be here, Harold. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine, and I'm so glad to have you on the program, because I am not a do-it-yourselfer. One of the most common phrases I hear myself uttering when I look at something that needs to be done around the house is, yeah, I don't do that. And so, but for the people who want to do it themselves, and let's take into consideration that, you know, they don't have carpentry skills, they're not bricklayers, they are not professional painters. Are there some things that you would recommend that some people not tackle and some that you would recommend that they go ahead and give it a try? And what's the difference?
Well, absolutely. Well, Harold, I hope after this segment you will be interested in doing some DIY projects around your house and change, that mindset of you not doing a DIY, because there are plenty of things that you can do that you would probably enjoy. I think that when you start talking about major construction, electrical, laying concrete, doing physical demolition that requires any type of structural engineer, anything that requires a professional that you're going to pay a lot of money for, it's going to require a permit, is not DIY. That's not something that you should even endeavor in. But things like wallpaper, tile backsplashes that are not an actual porcelain tile or stone tile or anything like that, but they make peel and stick tile. They make products now that are removable, that are really easy to work with. You can go out and garden. That's a DIY project. That's something that's fun, particularly if you have kids, planting fruits and vegetables, things of that nature. Painting your front door, painting the walls in your house. There are all types of tools and devices that you can use so that when you're cutting in walls, it doesn't look like an amateur did it. It looks like a professional did it. There's so many things that we can talk about. I have a whole list of great things that you can do at home that are really simple. And these are day projects. These are simple projects that you can do in a couple of hours and then go out to dinner later on and just kind of celebrate your accomplishment.
That's interesting because, for example, you mentioned the peel and stick backsplash, but mm-hmm. when you hire a contractor, they've got the trowel and they've got the pan with the cement or mm-hmm. in the pan and the overalls and stuff that's flying all over.
It's an experience.
Yeah, I find the whole thing, really fascinating. But I guess my question, even for that kind of project, a peel and stick backsplash, is peel and stick as good as
anytime you want any type of porcelain tile or, stone tile, any type of ceramic, it's a job, it's a whole process of, putting down mortar and getting a trowel and, cutting the tile to the proper dimensions, cutting angles, putting grout in and things of that nature, and there's a mixture process, a curing process. When we look at today's housing market and the prices of the cost of homes and the living expenses in places like Washington, D.C., where it's very expensive, I think a report just came out and said the average rental price now is about $2,600. You can have an apartment and do peel and stick tile, and it's removable, and it won't damage the walls. And it's a pretty simple process of literally taking like a sticker and adhering to the wall. And it looks really, really good. And in some cases, you can't really recognize if it's, you know, plastic or if it's, you know, whether plastic or if it's a ceramic on the wall. So, you know, there are some really interesting things, even with wallpaper. You remember back in the 60s and 70s and the 80s, wallpaper, you would put that up there and it would stay up there for years. And when it was time to take it down, it was a whole process to get it down. You know, wallpaper is so easy to take down now. You have removable gluing solutions and various techniques that you can do to get it on the wall and take it down. So there are a lot of things that we can do at home now that are budget-saving and cost-effective measures to make your space look beautiful if you have to design on a budget.
God, I didn't know that about wallpaper.
Yeah.
Removable wallpaper.
Removable wallpaper. Almost like a cling.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Is that something that, I mean, where do you get removable wallpaper? Do you have to go to, can you go to a Lowe's or Home Depot, or do you have to go to a Michaels or what?
Michaels, there's so many places. I think the first two places that you named is where everybody's going to think to go, Lowe's and Home Depot, right? And then, of course, there's places like Michaels. You can go online. You can go to build.com. Build.com is probably one of the like best places to get a whole bunch of stuff and get great deals, you know, for various things that you need in the home. But I think most people's first line of defense is Home Depot and Lowe's. But those are just specific, you know, wallpaper types that they carry all the time. If you want things that are unique, you can just Google, you know, removable wallpaper, and you'll find a plethora of companies that'll come up, and there's all sorts of designs and things. You also have wallpaper that's just plain white wallpaper and you can paint it. It's paintable. So you have a beautiful design and you can paint over it, and you have now have a design with color that's pretty cool. So there are a lot of options out there that you can do for DIY. You know, another thing that we're seeing in our industry that's really, really cool, and it's something I've been doing for years before it really, really became a big thing, is reuse, recycle, and refresh. Oftentimes you'll have pieces in your home, pieces of furniture that are old and you think are outdated, and you literally can, if it's solid wood, you can sand it down, you can stain it, you can repaint it, you can prime it if it's not real wood, and paint over that and put some new hardware on it. And you literally just revived a piece of furniture and given it a second wind. A lot of people are doing that to save money. And of course, you know, there's the Goodwill option. You know, in Washington, D.C., right outside of D.C., I believe in Brentwood, Maryland, we have the community forklift where you can find all sorts of secondhand pieces that are really beautiful, and you can bring them back to life. So it's pretty cool, you know.
It really sounds like it. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, all thumbs. I mean, I remember when my daughter was a little girl, and mm-hmm. she wanted a white bedroom, so I got a. I was able to buy a white wicker headboard, okay, and I bought a white bookshelf. But the previous owners in my home left a hospital institution green wooden chest of drawers.
Oh wow!
And it was all wood, yeah. And I painted it. Now, I will tell you, I mean, even if I say so myself, I think I did a really, really good job.
Sounds like you're a DIYer, Harold.
Yeah, did I? But again, when you talk about sweat equity, it was a lot of work. We are talking about home improvement, our weekly series on home improvement projects, big or small. And tonight we're talking about do it yourself. How do you do it yourself without doing in your bank account? My guest is Tristan Kier Francis, interior designer and principal at the House of Kier. Lines are open. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So I'm just going to talk to you about this particular project because I remember having to ask a lot of questions because I just painted over the wood. I didn't strip it down or anything. But for people who have situations like that where they're just going to paint over wood, what kind of paint, and I'm talking about, not, I mean, you can talk about brands, but specifically what type of paint would be good for painting over a pine chest of drawers that already has paint on it.
Right. Well, one of the first suggestion that I would give anyone that's painting over a pine chest of drawers or anything that is natural wood, 100% wood, is to consider actually getting a wood varnish and a paint stripper to actually strip the paint off. It's a very simple process. It will take several hours, I will say that. I've done it many times over, but it is rewarding when you actually can see what the original finish of that wood product was. And literally taking it down to the original wood and then buying their shellac primers. There are various types of wood primers. And if you go to Home Depot or Lowe's, you can have a conversation with the folks, because any type of primer is going to be in the paint section, and let them know, hey, I'm painting over this species of wood. So you just referenced pine. And I would like to get an adequate primer so that the paint adheres to it. Primer is also going to serve as a protectant to the wood once you take it down to its natural state. And, you know, you're just going to get a classic wood paint. You can decide whether or not you want to do like a factory finish, which is going to be more of a high gloss. You know, I would recommend you not using a bristle brush or, a brush that's made of like beaver hair or horse hair, anything like that, just mainly because you'll see the brush stroke. So if you're just using a sponge brush where you're going to get a clean finish, that'll work as well. And of course, you could, figure out, hardware details and things of that nature, to really make the piece come to life and sparkle with hardware in addition to the paint.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about do-it-yourself projects at home. Let's go to Nancy calling from Laurel. Nancy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is with regard to closet units. I see advertised a lot, these companies that'll come in and design, your walk-in closet. And so I had a question about do-it-yourself closet units, like buying the shelving for your shoes and the rods to hang your pieces on. Is it worth the sweat equity to do it yourself, like maybe buying a unit from IKEA and trying to do it myself, and how difficult is that for a walk-in closet?
Nancy, I'm just so I'm happy that you said that. While, I am not a designer that, would suggest anyone running to IKEA just because of the, oftentimes you hear people talk about the durability of the furniture, but IKEA has some great products. The IKEA PAX wardrobe unit, if you're on Instagram and you type IKEA PAX, there are all sorts of videos where different DIYers have accomplished some of the most breathtaking closets you've ever seen in your life. And it's a closet hack. It literally is taking the IKEA PAX closet system, P-A-X, so P as in Paul, A as in Apple, X as in X-ray. And what they did was they created these beautiful, beautiful closet systems where they were able to put away their shoes, sweaters, shirts, jeans, you name it. And they used a shellac primer. You want to go to Home Depot or Lowe's and get a shellac primer. And the reason why you want to get a shellac primer is you use shellac primer on non-wooden substrates, or not substrates, substances, or, like if it's melamine or particle board. And that will ensure that the paint will stick to the surface. And you will be surprised how beautiful these closet systems came out. The other option is you can go to Home Depot or Lowe's and you can buy the wire closet systems, which is very inexpensive. They can cut them to spec for you, and spec is just the size, and you can put them up in your closet and you can, put everything, wherever you'd like, and those are interesting as well. But the IKEA PAX system is probably one of the coolest. And you might spend $2,000, but you'll have a closet that's probably on the lines of a $10,000 California closet versus the two that you spent, and you'll be very pleased with it.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you for that. One more question.
Real quick, Nancy.
So when you do decide to go with the IKEA PAX closet system and you paint it, how long does it have to dry so that when you put items on top, they're not sticking to the paint.
Mm. I would give it 24 hours, and I would put a polyurethane coating over it afterwards, or just on the shelves that you're going to be putting things. So you can line the shelves with wallpaper or some sort of shelf paper.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Thank you so much, Nancy, for your phone call. You know, I would like to have a breathtaking closet. I like a word or two, and I like that one, a breathtaking closet. I'm really, really interested in a breathtaking closet, even though I have little teeny no walk-ins like Nancy has. Listen, we are going to talk to Luann from D.C. on the other side of the break. So, Luann, stay with us. Do not hang up. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about home improvement, DIY, do it yourself, or don't do it yourself. We're going to be taking your phone calls, as always, all the way up until right about 8 o'clock. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. I'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our home improvement series with a look at what DIY or do-it-yourself really means. My guest is Tristan Kier Francis, interior designer and principal at the House of Kier. Tristan, turn that computer down for me if you can. I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, and you can tweet me at HFisherWHUR if you want to treat me to a breathtaking closet. I'll take that too. Or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let me go back to the phone lines. Luann calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Luann. What's on your mind?
Hi. So I wanted to share that when I wanted to have my guests over, I actually went to the Dollar Tree and picked up the backdrop because I wanted my kitchen, the wall in the back by the stove to look a certain way. And rather than go to Home Depot and get, I think it's called the Backlash or something, I just found some creative things that I was able to stick on there, and it was very adhesive, and it matched my stove, and it looked so beautiful. I did my own bathroom. I went and got some stuff from the Dollar Tree. They are very adhesive, beautiful flowers and beautiful roses. They were all stickers, and I decorated my bathroom to just look so beautiful for when my guests came over, and I did the same to my refrigerator. So you can be creative in how you do it yourself, but rather than go to Home Depot, I actually found all these beautiful things that at the Dollar Tree, and my girlfriends were so ecstatic of how my beautiful condo looked at that time. Okay. So that's all I wanted to share. You can really do it yourself and be creative.
Luann, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate that. I want to, before I go back to the phone lines, for people, Tristan, who are wondering, where do I start if there are several projects that need to be addressed, from bathroom to kitchen to whatever, what should you do first? And the reason I ask this is because I think, for example, some people may paint the walls first, and then when they go to, you know, start bringing in, you know, furniture or what have you, then they mess up the walls that they painted. I mean, is there an order of things?
I love that. I mean, one of the things that most people should have is a vision, and come up with some sort of vision board and a hit list of items, first and foremost, the things that they want to, you know, get done around the house. I think the walls are always last, because you're going to damage the walls bringing furniture in. I think that when you think about furniture and wanting to furnish your unit, or if you have, or your home, and if you have older pieces of furniture, I always tell people, if you can't afford new furniture, look at the option of reupholstering it. Reupholstering could be just as much money. as buying a new piece of furniture or possibly buying secondhand furniture. So I think, you know, looking at furnishings, if you need new floors, possibly look at floors. I would start with the floors always because that's the first thing people see. You're going to walk on the floors. If the floor is in great condition and everything else is pretty, in order, I would say, you know, look at furniture and procuring artwork and then go to painting. And if everything's inside of your home and you're ready to paint, get some great artwork on the walls, and then, you know, focus on other areas. You may want to buy some lamps and things of that nature and do some other DIY projects around the house that kind of brings it together. But I would always start with the floors because those seem to be done so that you have something adequate to walk on.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about do-it-yourself projects for your home. When do you and when don't you? Let's go to Rico calling from Germantown. I have I guess what you would call a warning because Rico does things in his house, but Rico has the talent to build a house. So Tristan, he really doesn't count.
Okay, well that's a good thing. So he may bring some great insight to this conversation.
Rico, how are you?
Thank you so much. I'm not there yet, but anyway, I hope to be there one day. And I just wanted to say that when it comes to being a do-it-yourselfer, always start at the library. I spent at least 6 months checking every book out of the library, even before I even looked at videos, because I was completing a room, which you find on the drywall. And what I would say is that take your time and use that money that you are saving to buy higher quality items. Because when I took my time, I bought good brushes, I bought good paint, and I bought good equipment with the money that I was able to save. And therefore, my projects came out a whole lot better. Sherwin-Williams, quality paints, quality supplies. And during the pandemic, I was able to finish two rooms in my basement and save about $15,000 in doing it myself and taking my time. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right.
So take your time and do your studying.
Rico, good to hear from you again, brother. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tristan, Rico just brought up a really interesting point. Mm-hmm. He mentioned good brushes, good paint, good tools. What is good for brushes, paints, tools?
You know, the Monarch brand is a pretty good brand that I believe is only sold at Home Depot. Really and truly, you want to get. And for those who are vegan, probably would hate for me to say this, but you know, any type of non-synthetic brush that is made from an animal. You know, mainly beaver hair, horse hair brushes are really, really good just because they hold paint very well. You want to get quality brushes that are easy to clean. You have to take care of your brushes naturally. I prefer Sherwin-Williams paint, so I smiled when he said Sherwin-Williams. Sherwin-Williams, their top brand paint is Emerald, and they have this whole new designer edition collection that's out now that's really, really good paint. You're going to spend a lot of money on it, but you want good paint that's going to adhere really nicely to a wall and to all the walls in your home and to the ceiling. And, you know, you want people to come in and actually see the paint has texture to it. It's vibrant on the wall. And when you spoke about equipment, you know, good equipment is important, you know, and there's various equipment brands that, you know, you can buy out there, that's sold at, you know, all these appliance stores, all these home improvement stores, rather. And it just really depends on what you're looking for. The tools are going to do their job if they're really, really good tools. I think oftentimes people want the most expensive. The most expensive doesn't always mean the best quality. You'll find that some products that are actually lower in price deliver a better outcome and do the job much better than the higher price point. So you really have to pick and choose and read about the products. See how products are rated. Really get a firm understanding, of what people are saying about their products and if they were good to use. And so what he just said was incredible. And to say $15,000 is phenomenal, on a DIY project. So he can use that money to do other things as well throughout his house.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to DJ calling from Colorado. DJ, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I have...
DJ, turn your radio down, please. There you go.
I have tall ceilings in a very small living room area. I've never experienced that small of a space, but the ceilings are the walls are very high. And I want to know what do I do with this tall walls?
Very high, what's very high? How would you define very high? Are you talking 12 feet, 15 feet, 18 feet?
If I was a 6 foot tall person, it's 6 feet times three, maybe.
Okay. So so you're talking the wall. So the ceiling is 18 feet above you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my other question about that. Either you live in a very old home, or a McMansion.
No, actually, it's. A new building.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's a small one bedroom.
Okay. Yeah.
And so it's really update, but the ceilings, I've never had ceilings that tall in a small space, and I'm not quite sure what to do with it.
How many windows are in the space or in that room?
There is one window, nice size window. On the same wall, there's a door to the patio.
Okay. So if there were multiple windows, I would tell you to put window treatments, have to hang window treatments from the ceiling to the floor, and make it look like the windows are really tall. And that's one way of really maximizing on the wall heights. You have the option of, doing a feature wall on the longest wall in the room, or the longest wall that potentially does not have any windows on it. You can put your sofa and things of that nature on it and, do a montage of artwork or something like that, or photos of you and your family, whatever you choose. I would recommend black and white photos and black frames, if you do a dark colored wall. The other option here is potentially doing some sort of shelving, soaring shelving. On either side of your sofa, and not having the shelving go all the way down to the floor, but come halfway up from the floor and the rest of the way up to the ceiling, and making it a focal point with books and accessories and things of that nature, and then putting artwork in between that, and that will eat up that wall, and it'll just make it a focal point, so that no one's really paying attention to the other walls in the room; they're just focusing on the feature wall that you've now created.
I do have some really nice tall shelving, black shelves that are really finished shelving that I'm going to put in that area. I just visioned what I can do with while you were speaking. So that that does help. I will make it work.
Yeah. And you can do it yourself.
most definitely. I think the black framed artwork will do. I have some paintings that my grandchildren did, and I think I'll just go ahead and put that in that black frame.
Yeah, I always tell people children's artwork always looks like $1 million once it's framed.
It's all color.
Depending.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would definitely put that on display. It's something to talk about, particularly if you have a nice dinner party and people ask you if it's like a, some famous artist. Yes, my grandson, my granddaughter, that's the famous artist.
That's right. And then you can say, it's for sale.
Yes, and I can find frames for very, frames are very inexpensive. So, yeah, if I can sell it, so I will. But anyway.
Well, DJ, thank you so much for your phone call. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure thing.
Have
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. What, Tristan, do you believe are some of the things that people ignore in their home regarding projects that perhaps they should consider?
You know, on the outside, you can all, when you see weeds, you know, roaming all in someone's yard and there's no curb appeal, I think that's one of the things that just really drives me crazy. You walk up to someone's home and it's just like, you have all this beautiful outdoor space. Do not think about just planting some, you know, fresh flowers. The biggest thing that we see is white walls. People who just simply do not want to paint or don't feel that it's worth to paint. You know, we see, you know, outdated light fixtures. And you can go on the Angie's List, and you can hire, it's called Angie now, I'm sorry. You know, you can hire someone to come in and put a really nice light fixture in for you, things of that nature. Folks have outdated furniture, you know, and they could DIY with slip covers. You oftentimes go into people's homes and they don't have mirrors, and they worry about spaces like the one this young lady in Colorado just spoke about, and how, you know, it's a small space with tall walls, but you can also put mirrors in spaces to make it look bigger. You know, so things of that nature, you know, we see a lot of, and you just wonder to yourself, you know, simple fixes can make a big difference, and you can do it yourself. But sometimes people don't realize that they have that power to do it themselves. So hopefully this information will be helpful to many people tonight.
And you just mentioned something else that I did years ago, and I don't even know if it's around anymore, but here in the D.C. Metro, it's just over the line, just over the Northeast D.C. line, there was this raggedy little place. It was a warehouse where there was all of this used hotel furniture. And again, I don't know if the place is around anymore. Mm-hmm. But up against one really long wall were all of these mirrors, mm-hmm, that were going for dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And
that place, I know that place that you're talking about, Harold, it's closed. But where they take that stuff to now is typically to the community forklift. And you would be surprised how a lot of that stuff is, it's like, it's precious cargo. Because once upon a time, although, you know, the hotel closed or they renovated, a lot of that stuff came from, like, Ethan Allen and, like, really expensive stores. And you can do a great DIY project and revive a lot of that stuff.
And the thing about mirrors that I learned is that they create the illusion of space.
Absolutely. Mirrors are our friend, yeah, in some cases. Not if you're, you know, a little heavier like me. You know, you don't necessarily want to look in the mirror all the time, you know. But, you know, if, you know, in a home, in a small space, mirrors can do wonders. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Tristan, like I always say, for those of us who have a few extra pounds, it's just more to love. So there. But
mm-hmm, pretty much.
But yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, the other, there are some things that should absolutely positively not be done by yourself. And you kind of, you know, talked about them a little bit. Obviously, you talked about electricity and, you know, and the like. But if you need to pick a contractor, how do you go about doing that? How do you find one? Because certainly if you pick one who's advertising on television,
right,
you know that's going to cost you a lot, right, of money.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you know, how do you pick one? How do you know that the work is quality work and the whole nine?
Right. Well, I just referenced Angie, and Angie is a great site, just mainly because, you know, it has lists of various contractors that are rated, you know, based on their performance. You always want to hire someone who's licensed, you know, professionally licensed, who's licensed with a local jurisdiction, which in Washington, D.C. is the Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs. You want to pick someone who actually has insurance. You can verify that insurance so that when they're on site working on your property, they have a certificate of insurance just in case anything happens. You want to make sure your contractors have general liability, professional liability, and workman's compensation insurance so that if anyone trips or falls on your property, the burden doesn't fall on you. It falls on the contractor to make sure that whoever was hurt, if it's one of their workers, that person is taken care of. And you want to make sure, in most cases, they have some type of bonding capacity, and they're bonded or have a surety bond, you know, to cover them as a company. And then you can go to the Better Business Bureau, of course, and you can look at their ratings and see if there are any complaints. For example, if there have been any lawsuits, you can Google them. You know, there's this thing in Maryland called the Maryland case search, and people joke about it because you don't want your name to be on the Maryland case search because all your business is there. Mm-hmm. But you can, and you can do the same thing with D.C. Superior Court. You can search and see if the contractor has ever had any issues. But the best thing that most people do is they talk to their friends and their family, and they ask, you know, have you ever worked with a contractor? And everybody's always got a contractor. Check their work. You know, get at least 3 to 6 references. You know, I think 6 is a little extreme. 3 is standard. And talk to people and see what their work habits were like, you know, and get a variety of references. You know, just don't only get residential. If they're residential and commercial contractor, get a residential reference, get a commercial reference, you know, to make sure that, you know, they can do everything that they say they can do. And have an interview. Interview multiple. Don't just go with the first person. You know, I believe in the rule of 3. And so if you want to interview at least 3 contractors and you add another 3 and you do a process of elimination, and if they have a current job site that they're working on, ask them if you can come by and do a tour, you know. And the first thing they should do is have you put a hard hat on, because every job site is going to be a hard hat zone, and just see what their work ethic is like on site and if their project is moving along. And particularly if they allow you to do that, talk to the person who hired them. And find out if this person is actually who they say they are. And I think you can make a decision from there.
Hmm. So here's another one of those Pinterest projects that I've seen that I've always really been fascinated with. The ceramic tile facing on wooden steps.
Not a fan.
Not a fan. Why? Why not?
I just think that stairs, you know, should just be really elegant, really simple. You can have an open stair, which is just basically, you know, the tread, the face of the stair, the railing, you know, the tread and the face of the stair is always, the landing rather, is going to, you know, always going to be, you know, 2 different colors in most people's homes, unless they just want a simple, boring staircase. Or sometimes people will put a beautiful runner down, you know, with metal detail on it to actually hold the carpet down. And, you know, I just can't see ceramic, you know, tile on a staircase. You know, it's not my thing. To each his own. It's just not a design element that I would incorporate. You know, I want a staircase that's really elegant and beautiful, that leads you to another part of the home. And it's a joy to walk up the stairs and see that, wow, these people really thought about what this staircase should look like. And people don't always pay attention to staircases, but if you put ceramic on the face of the staircase, I think they're going to pay attention, and it may not be favorable.
Okay. So outside, let's go outside. Mm-hmm. Other than just planting some flowers for, you know, curb appeal, or what's that next level do-it-yourself project that can be done, you know, without you having to hire a professional landscaper? And well, I'll ask you that, and then I have another question about outdoors, backyards, and fences and the like.
Sure. I mean, you can do raised box gardens. You can, you know, put in rose bushes and things of that nature. You can go and get, you know, sculptural art, you know, that's made out of metal that you can find in salvage yards and places like that can withstand the elements 365. you know, and have a, they get a nice patina on them from the sun and from the elements and things of that nature. So it's something to look at. You know, just, you know, you can weed and feed your garden and ensure that, you know, your sod or your grass is, you know, not full of weeds. And, you know, you can trim your hedges if you have, you know, boxwoods and things of that nature, or you can bring in topiaries and put them on the left and, you know, right side of your front door. There's so many different things that you can do yourself that's simple. You know, you can buy beautiful large, you know, plant pots. You know, to have other, you know, plants, outdoor plants potted in, or you can have nice water fountains that are very simple to operate outside in the garden that, you know, kind of brings that, you know, arrested tranquility that you may want to have in a private space to read in your outdoor space. So there's so many things that you can do that people have a tendency to just run out and hire a professional to do that is so small. So you're going to pay someone $500 to put your fountain in, but if you just read the instructions, you could have done it yourself. If you paid that person, you know what I mean? If you paid that person $500 to come in, you know, and, you know, plant some large trees and things of that nature, I would say absolutely. But there are certain things that cost savings mechanisms that, you know, that we don't look at because we just don't want to have to deal with it. But it's fun. It's really fun to, you know, to do garden work and DIY work if you really thought about, you know, what your capabilities are.
Now, for those who sometimes, you know, do-it-yourself means that you buy the stuff and have somebody else do it. Okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. But let's stay in the backyard and say you want... You know, you want new fencing or something like that, but you also want to do some other things. This is another first things first question. Do you fix the yard and landscaping first and then get new fencing, or do you get the new fencing and then do the yard?
Well, it's one of those questions, you know, I guess it's a case by case because we would have to look and see, okay, what's in the yard? Are there going to be things in the yard that are going to impede on the productivity of us putting a fence in? So, for example, if you have old trees that need to be excavated and the ground needs to be excavated in order to actually get to the fence line, if there are obstructions in the way, if the grass is overgrown, there more than likely you're going to have to do quite a few things in order to get to the fence line. Because naturally, I would highly recommend you bringing in a company or a contractor that can do a professional fence installation. But they're not going to come and do that if you have obstructions in the path and the path that actually gets them to that area where they're going to have to do the work. So I would think the logical thing to do is if the backyard is fully cleared, go ahead and put the fencing in, and then you make everything look beautiful. Because think about it. If I put in this row of rose bushes and they're bringing in these fences and they knock down all my rose bushes and my begonias and anything else I've got back there, it was a waste of time. It was a waste of money because now I'm going to have to go and put all that stuff in again. So, you know, it's like we learned measure twice, cut once. So this is the same kind of thing.
Okay. In these last few minutes that I have, Share some other, down and dirty, do-it-yourself suggestions that aren't going to, you know, break the bank, you know, those under $500 suggestions that you may have.
You know, going in and buying accessories, buying accessories for your home, lamps. You don't have to go to Ethan Allen. You don't have to go to West Elm or Pottery Barn. You can go to places like Home Goods. You can go to places like Home Sense, which is another big store that's owned by the TJ Maxx company that owns Home Goods. You can go to places like the Community Forklift, Goodwill. I love the idea that I shared with you earlier about reuse, recycle, and refresh. I love to go and find old pieces of furniture and restore them. And you can easily go and find a nice dresser for $50, you know, at a salvage sale and sand it down yourself if you have a sander, or you can do some sanding by hand if you want to just, you know, repaint it, get some new hardware for it. You know, those are interesting things to do. Gardening. We talked about gardening and the joys of, you know, doing a raised garden and, you know, doing a garden project is something fun that you can do with your kids, planting things around the house. Weeding and feeding, you know, things of that nature are all DIY things that you can do. you know, to really lower costs, and just kind of, you know, move around your home and really enjoy your space. Painting your front door, I know that probably sounds wild, but so many people are obsessed with the color of their front door.
Mm-hmm.
Take the door off the hinges and take a Saturday and paint the door. You know, let it dry for 24 hours and then put the seal on it. You know what I mean? Those are all fun things that you can do.
But let's let's back up with that just a minute. That is, of course, assuming that the front door is wood.
Well, here's the thing. You can actually paint a powder-coated steel door. Most front doors are powder-coated steel. They do not necessarily have to be solid wood. Painting a solid wood door could be a nightmare if you don't sand that door down.
Mm.
And I wouldn't really recommend people painting solid wooden doors. I would sand it down and then paint it, but not just painting over it. But if you had a powder-coated steel door, you can easily prime that door and paint it, and the paint would adhere, and it'll look really, really nice.
So, okay, so wait a minute. You're saying you can sand the door.
You can sand a wooden door then.
No, right. But for the powdered steel door, you can remove the finish. And
no, there's no reason. There's no need to do that with the powder coated steel door. You can just prime over the existing paint.
Oh, prime over. Okay, I got lost.
You can prime over. Yeah, you can prime over the existing paint and repaint the door, and it'll look brand new. But with the wooden door, you're going to want to sand that down and potentially stain it, or you can paint it. But it's just a whole nother process that's a little different from working with a steel door.
Now, how long does something like that take?
On a wooden door?
No, the steel door.
Oh, steel door is just going to be a simple 24-hour project. 24 hours to dry. It can just take you a couple hours to actually paint and prime that door. That's a simple, you know, afternoon project, and, you know, you may want to put a little stanchion or something in front of the door so that no one comes and touches it, and they go through another entry point in the home to allow the door to dry. But I do recommend doing a project like that on a very hot day so that the paint can dry very quickly. Not too hot, not a humid day, because humidity will disrupt the drying process, but just a hot day where it's 80s and it's low humidity.
Well, yeah, but you got to make sure you've got a lock and screen door, too. You don't want unwelcome people coming to your door. That's another show. We're going to have to figure that out, you know.
Indeed,
yeah.
Indeed.
Boy, I tell you, Tristan Kier Francis, look, thank you so much. This has been not only informative, but it's been a lot of fun. Thank you so very much. I appreciate
Likewise.
Your time. All right.
Thank you, Harold. Have a good night.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, April 20th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.